Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time FL podcast for Grand Final bye week 2021. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has spent his days picketing Channel 9. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Yes, I was kind of looking forward to having a fun show and starting it off with, you know, it's Grand Final week. We had the Brownlow last night, but the Brownlow was tainted last night. I really couldn't get into it. I did watch it, but the pall, the news, the gloom that just covered the whole, like how it wasn't in the in memoriam package, I don't know. The story, the reason I've been down at Channel 9 the last few days, there's been protests in Melbourne. There was one on Saturday. There was one this afternoon with the tradies. There's been lots of protests. And thankfully, that has kept the police off my back, because I have been out the front of Channel 9 and I have been exceptionally vocal. I have been throwing eggs. I've been chanting down there, because the Sunday footy show and Billy Brownless are no longer going to be together. Can you fucking believe that, Michael? What has our great institution become? They've given up.
I think it's safe to say, Adam, it is hashtag put out your frothies.
I believe, everyone get your beers outside and then, you know, get them in, have them, finish them, put your frothies back out. But can you believe, Billy Brownless, mate, he's harmless. He's the fun guy down the end. He doesn't know what's going on. He comes in, he's not quite sure what's happening. He's eaten a shit ton of pies out the back before he's come on. You're not going to find another replacement like that. Channel 9, think again, get him back.
He announced it yesterday, so if you don't know the Sunday football show, Billy announced kind of early on in the show that he was going to be...
Hang on. Are you saying if you don't know the Sunday football... Mate, the Sunday... You can go anywhere overseas. And before people will say, are you Australian? They'll say, do you watch the Sunday footy show?
Yeah, for sure.
That's and you'll really be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how you bond with people when you're overseas.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I know whenever Tony Jones goes overseas, he gets through customs. No matter, they don't speak English, but they just go, chompers, come on through.
And they, even when they're looking at the passport, and they will say, oh, I thought your surname would have been Lloyd-O, because that's what they call you. Mm. And it's not Lloyd. They don't call you Lloydie, but Lloyd-O. That's interesting. Come through, Matthew. There's VIP customs back here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Barrett, but I was under the understanding that your middle name was Purple.
Yes, and it doesn't say that here on your passport.
But
if you've got news to break in this country, if you want to break news here, Purple, get in there, son. Get in there.
So he announced yesterday that he's going to be departing the Sunday football show. I don't know if he meant the whole footy show and including Sunday footy show, or if it was the Sunday footy show alone. But it seemed to... I think he said something like 24 years or something. Like, it's an awfully long amount of time.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was there in the early days when... It says here after 27 years. So 27? I think he must have been on the initial footy show when it was on, you know, with Eddie and Trev and Sam.
Yeah, sure.
And so he would have been a regular part of that, and that's where he became. Because remember, he used to do the wheel.
That's right,
on the footy show.
Because they,
and he would go out to rural clubs.
I believe the footy show was a bit of a spin-off of the Sunday footy show. So I feel like the Sunday footy show hosted by Max Walker and had like Sam Newman, Ted Whitten, a few other people
it was too.
And I feel like the beginning of the footy show was that they did a Friday night show, maybe a Thursday night show before a grand final. I feel like it might have been 93 grand final. And then they then spun that into a weekly Thursday night show with that Collingwood supporter, that passionate Collingwood supporter.
And so you were saying that Sunday footy show, basically, it started with Max Walker, had Teddy Whitten, Lou Richards was on there. So basically...
I think Mount Brown might have been on it too.
It's a good idea that Billy Brown is getting out, because otherwise he's going to be dead within fucking months. Like, that show has clearly killed off a lot of people.
Fucking hell.
And you're better off to be out of there.
Sheesh.
But, you know, I It says here that he's retired and he stepped away from the show. I can't believe that.
Oh,
I say Channel 9.
You're saying he got pushed. Are you saying he got boned?
He got boned, mate.
He got boned.
From the man who's from the... Mate, look at that. Look at that network. From that Collingwood supporter who did it many, many years ago. It's just... It's in their DNA. And this is what they do to people. And are you telling me... you think Billy just stepped away. He's gone, you know, I haven't spent a Sunday morning with my kids for ages.
Well, I mean, he did make that argument that I could have a Sunday off. But it's like... It's half the year, mate. Like, it's not... Yeah. It's not a 52... Sundays a year. Like, it's half the year. Like, and you know, it's what, you know, 10 a.m. to midday. You probably get in there, about 8:30, do you reckon? Maybe.
It's pre-recorded, by the way, so they're not on air live.
Really? I did not know that. So when do you think they'd do it?
See?
But wait a second.
I reckon
if it's pre-recorded, then they'd do it.
The start of it probably goes as they're finishing the end. So they probably record from like maybe 8:30 till 10:30 and then they get out of there.
Okay.
As it's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you reckon, though, this is a man who's never spent a Sunday morning at home. Do you reckon that could have been when his wallet might have been lifted? Because they knew for 26 weeks of the year, oh, don't worry, he's not here. He won't be here. He's got no idea. But I don't think that the one and only Bill Brownless. Now, this is a man who he loves parties, he loves going out, he loves doing a sporty.
Yep.
Right now, there's a kind of a story going around that on grand final day, Billy Brownless fucking cleans up.
Yeah.
He goes from one function to another, and they're all bloody, you know, fucking here's a fucking envelope, Billy. Thanks for that. And you know, they're all like this.
I've heard Dipper walk around the corporates at halftime and quarter time and stuff like that. And so come in and just do, you know, talk to people for the quarter, the time thing. Maybe even hang around in the box for the quarter and then kind of go around to another one, you know, hanging, shake a few hands, you know, saying, $9.99. And then, they, you know, give them a couple pineapples. Well, a couple dozen pineapples.
Yeah.
And off he goes.
A couple dozen pineapples and they move on their way. It's a great day. Everyone's happy and they love it. Now, the reason that I'm saying this is that I don't think that Billy retired is because this is a man. He fucking loves his cash. Now, what... You name me one ex-footballer who, if they don't have like a really good business in the background or a pill press at home, that stepped away from footy to go, nah, I'm just not into it anymore. Especially the media. It's a bit too easy and I'm getting... But Sunday mornings, I want my Sunday... No one wants their fucking Sunday mornings back. Not when you're getting a good wicket.
Nah, he would be on a very good wicket. But let's not forget also, he's still got the Triple M show. So would that be Monday to Thursday? Do you think they do a Friday show? I'm not totally sure. At worst, Monday to Friday. But that would...
No, I reckon they do. I reckon they do Monday to Thursday and Friday is the rub, which leads into the footy.
That workload wouldn't be too ridiculous too. I remember years ago I had a friend who worked at Triple M and he'd put together a show with his team on a whiteboard. And then one day Billy came in just kind of having a bit of a chat and then he was like, this is like they'd been doing their show for a few years, like Billy and JB. And Billy was like, oh, geez, yeah, we should get a whiteboard. I think that's the idea. I think that might be the level of planning that goes into that show. You know, well, come on, we'll shoot.
It's a very popular show.
Yeah.
You know, people love it. And also, what do they need to prepare? The producer comes in and goes, hey, we're talking to this footballer, this footballer. Billy, tell us a story about how you fucking dropped a slab on your foot on the weekend.
Yeah.
And we're away.
Yeah. I reckon, I don't think he was pushed. I think.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think of other roles he would have at Channel 9. So he might do a bit of those kind of postcards kind of shows. I reckon he has in the past. I think that probably slot him into a few little different things. But what other football show could he do? Oh, well, he's not going to do Classified or anything.
No, and he was always kind of the fun guy he was the ante to the analyst.
Yeah.
You know? He would come in and muck around and everyone loved him and, you know, he'd be in a... In a onesie or something, it'd be funny. Remember they did the rap battle? That was
oh fuck, yeah. Yeah.
Did the rap battle.
But he would also have a pretty shitty commute, I would imagine, as well, if you still live down in Geelong. So that would add a bit to your day, wouldn't it?
Surely he stays up in Melbourne for the Saturday night. Like if you're calling a game on a Saturday, you stay down here, would you commute from the Cattery? I don't know.
No,
anyway,
I think place, yeah.
Channel 9, you fucking dogs. Having said that, there's now a space open on the bench, and I think that Junk Time could slot in quite nicely.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we can think up segments where we kind of rant and rave. We can, shoot an arrow or two. Who do you think would replace him? Because Maybe Crawf or something like that, because he kind of, if you want to replace him with that larrikin type,
yeah,
maybe Crawf is probably the closest fit at the minute. But I feel like Crawf is a bit over that now, a bit old for that, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. Who of the new breed? Like, who? I mean, would you get a Dane Swan in there, or do you just go, well, we can't have him in there?
I don't think you'd be able to trust him. I don't think Dane's a good enough orator to be.
Is that where Daisy Thomas slips
Daisy
in?
Daisy would be a great
sure,
one.
They've been doing the show really on, good. You know, Channel 7. Yeah, so there you go. He might slot in, and bang, bingo, bango, you're away. See you later. Billy who?
Yeah. No, we'll never know that name ever again.
No, he's dead to us.
How's your week been, man? You're locked down still? We're all in lockdown?
Mate, there's a roadmap out. I'm fine. There's only a 5-week roadmap. So, you know, I might take some of the back streets during that roadmap, but everything's going fine. Mm. And you know what? I don't care about the fucking roadmap, because all I'm looking forward to is the big event this weekend, which is the Junk Time Grand Final Bonanza.
That is true. We're going to be doing the show with Will Anderson and Charlie Clawson from the Two Guys, One Cup podcast. I think it's the 6th year in a row that we've been doing this. And we're going to be heading to a Zoom show, obviously, because of the COVID. If you're going to get tickets, try booking. Just type in Junk Time or Two Guys, One Cup. The numbers, not the words. But it's going to be an awesome show. Special guest. Even added one today, Adam. We added one today. Special guest. We have Chaz Licciardello from The Chaser. Big Dogs fan. Got Broden Kelly from the sketch group Auntie Donna. Check out their show on Netflix. Big Melbourne's fan. And then we have Titus O'Reilly.
Yes.
One and only Titus O'Reilly will be joining us. So we have two Dogs fans, two Melbourne fans. Which ones will be happy? Which ones will be sad?
It's
going
to be tough.
I'm trying to work out who will I have more fun with, making fun of? You know what I mean?
Like, I think it'd be more fun, and I'm not saying, don't come at me, D's fans, but if Melbourne lost in a heartbreaker, that's going to be a lot more fun for us, because if the Doggies lose, they've still got 2016. They've got something to hang
on. That's a good point, yeah.
And they'll look okay. Like I said to Titus when he texted me back, I said, how are you feeling? And he was like, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
You know, it's a flip of the coin kind of thing. And there's, you know what? I reckon after they smashed Geelong, they would have been really confident and gone, oh, fuck, mate, this team is playing really well. And then the Western Bulldogs deflated their confidence so fucking quickly that they would have just have been sleeping like shit for the next 2 weeks.
It's really fascinating, actually. I actually saw a clip a friend of mine sent me before. I think I mentioned him on the pod before, but there's my friend who likes to go and line up out the front of the MCG because he wants a particular seat on level one at the MCG.
Yeah, you spoke about him at the grand final show. Yeah. He camped out there one year.
Yeah, so he camps out each year. And I go and have a chat to him on the Friday just to kind of keep him occupied and stuff like that. We, you know, have a coffee or whatever.
That seems about right, though. That makes sense that you would have a friend that would camp out front at the MCG. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like Chambos, mate. Yeah.
Well, actually, he sent me a clip on the news that maybe it was last night. I'm not totally sure. But I met a guy in line who was literally first in line. And I think his mum was, like, second in line. A guy called Gary Merchant, I think it is. And he's been to every grand final for the last 63 years. Massive Melbourne fan. Been to like every Melbourne game since like 1985 or something. And can't get into WA. Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucking heartbreaking stories like that. But fuck, it's fun to watch. You know, you just go, oh, well. You know what I love too? I've seen around Melbourne at the moment. Because, you know, I'm spreading my wings in my 5K area. But, you know, people putting up the crepe paper and the colours and the banners and stuff.
Yep.
But everything you see of the Melbourne ones, so you see like a Doggy's house, there might be some, you know, blue, red, white crepe paper put up and maybe a hand-painted sign that says Go Dogs or, you know, Woof Woof or whatever. And then you go to the Melbourne house, they've got all these really nice flags and then like these professionally made banners put up as well.
Yeah, gotcha. What do you think the proportion is? Like how many Melbourne, how many Dogs?
I'm seeing a lot more Melbourne this year.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the area that you live, you couldn't really say any particular football club defines that area. Like, obviously, if you went down the walk down through Footscray, you'd see all the shops, well, the shops that can be open, they'd have all the colours and stuff like that. But Melbourne actually doesn't really have that area, does it? By the fact, I mean, technically, Melbourne is the CBD. And, you know, I can't imagine that. Yeah, those shops are kind of owned by all different types of people. It's like if you walk down Glenfree.
Yeah, but I suppose if you went down to the Australia Club, there might be
well,
a
that's
few
the thing.
You know, banners
out
the front there.
Like if you went up into like the boardroom at ANZ, like
yeah.
I mean, you walk down Glenfree Road when Hawthorn makes the grand final, and you know the Butcher's got staff. You know they've all got that blah 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 blah.
Would it be around where you grew up? Like, would it be around Melbourne and Armidale and stuff? Is that kind of a, was that a Melbourne heartland?
Nah.
Not that you ever got to see it. Like in 88, were there posters and shit
not
up?
Not that I remember. No, not that I remember. No, because I think those kind of shops, like, they're kind of, people don't necessarily live in the area, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is very tough.
What are you planning to do? What are the rules for you? Can you watch it with anyone? Can you watch it with...
No.
Okay.
I suppose, you know what I could potentially do?
Can you have, a buddy though? A bubble buddy?
I can have a bubble buddy. Yeah. Yes, I can. But, or I could go and have a picnic and watch the footy on my device.
Yeah.
And have no alcohol and then have to be home by 9. So it's a lot of fun here in Victoria. It's really going to go off.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think it's looking in a case of me sitting by myself watching it as well. So, you know.
I have a feeling that might be the way. Did you watch the Brownlow last night, Michael?
I saw bits and pieces of it, actually, I must say.
You love a Brownlow.
How did you like the coverage?
I actually thought they did an okay job.
Yeah.
It was, you know what the good thing about it? It was pacey.
Yeah, last year they really did it quick.
Yeah.
But I think the problem, it's a bit like an award show, in that the problem is you have to give out the awards. Like, the problem with the Brownlow is that you actually have to count the votes. And so, you
know,
you can dress it up and stuff like that. But, you know, but then how many times do you, after every 4 rounds, do you have a little bit? Do you have a little band? Do you have a sketch or whatever? But, like, that all adds up its time as well. So you kind of, like, go, come on, guys, let's get through. Or do you just start it at, like, you know, round 12, you know?
Oh, I reckon people want to hear. Like, if you're a player, you would want to hear your name. I know Gil kind of, he skipped over the players that didn't really mean a lot to the count. Like, you know, he just would go like a, A. Rathamarks, 1 vote. C. Petrarca, 2 votes. You know, he'd really hang on the big names. But the other ones, he just kind of flew through, which, again, I don't mind. I think the quicker we can get through that shit, the better.
High scoring.
What about, okay, I think we might have discussed this last year. But I'll bring it up again, another innovation of ours. So from, you have a different Brownlow night every week. It's every night for 25 nights.
Oh, and they just do one round each week.
Sorry, 23 nights. Yeah, one round. So the whole coverage just goes right through. It's like a Brownlow marathon, if you will.
Okay, gotcha. So they do that probably 23 days or so, kind of from the start of the finals through to the grand final. So you do it kind of the Monday after the first week of finals.
How good's that? And people could say to you, what round are you going to? You go, mate, I get invited to round 8. It's going to be a fucking ripper. So the punters, people get to go. Sure, the players will get fucking sick of it. But you also, as teams get eliminated from the final. So if you've got the first 10 days are only filled by players who are on their Mad Mondays, right? So that's their Mad Monday. Mm-hmm. Then as teams get eliminated from the finals, that's their night to go. And then when, of course, you got the last 2 nights where the grand final teams can't go. You know what would be great is if they're all sitting around and say Simon Goodwin just looks at someone and goes, you can have a beer, mate. And he's like, what do you mean? He goes,
you don't get any game, mate.
Yeah. And so he just fucking gets on it and it's fucking great. Then someone goes down and they're like, oh, mate, you were going to play, but you got 2 gas, so bad luck.
I think the setup last night was that there were the regular players in the room, the main room. Do you know where they held it?
In Perth? No, I do not, actually. I'm assuming it might have been at Channel 7.
I thought
maybe.
No,
I honestly don't know. I didn't look into that.
I thought you could actually, maybe there might be a function room at Optus Stadium. You could hold it. A big enough room. But from what
I
understand, they had the main people in one room, and then they had essentially like little bubbles for the Dogs and the D's. Just kind of, they were kept separate from everyone else, so nothing bad could happen to them.
And then they had the weird thing going on in Melbourne where they had Darcy Parrish, Zach Merritt and Jack Steele and Sammy Walsh just kind of standing awkwardly in a room. It was with Hamish. So that was strange.
That's right. They were in the studio at Channel 7. Yeah, that's where they were doing the Olympics and stuff like that. Yeah.
Now, why wouldn't you, though? If you're doing it in Perth for the first time, fucking show Perth off. Have it on the footbridge outside the ground. Like, have it down at fucking... Have it at the Little Creatures fucking brewery down in Frio. You know, it's a beautiful town. Have it at the, you know, at the Cottesloe during a Sunday session.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Fucking AFL, you've missed out.
Yeah, you can hold it in the Murray Street Mall, right? And you had a Basil hosting. Mm. And then just every few minutes, he's just randomly distracted by a homeless person. He's just like, get out of here! Yeah. Get out of here! You're not wanted! We're not wanted!
And people go... people go to sit down and they're like, these chairs are uncomfortable. He's like, good. That means you won't fall asleep on it, you fucking scum.
There's like a fire brigade there. They're going to get a fire hose them. High scoring though, wasn't it? Ollie Wines, 36. I don't think I've seen that tally for a while. Bont, 33. Clayton Oliver, 31. Sam Walsh, 30. Like, I don't think I've seen a top four like of that high. And I even saw an article today about Wanganeen. He won with 19 back in 93.
That's incredible. They were saying the Bont would have won all but three and Clayton Oliver would have won all but six.
No way.
So it was particularly high. And fuck, you just go, geez, the umpires don't look at the forwards or the backs,
no,
do they? Like, they just clearly look at the stats and go, oh, I think he must have been good. Like, it's pathetic.
Did they actually get the stats to look at? That's one thing I was curious about.
I reckon they must.
I feel like they do, and I feel like they shouldn't. I feel like you should do it off your instinct of the game that you've just watched. Because I feel like the stats, you get the numbers in front of them and you go, oh, well, we're just going to give it to the guy who got the most votes, the most touches.
Yeah, he seems to be the most damaging. But then do they look at, like, say Dangerfield is playing on Matt DeBoer, right? Mm. And Dangerfield has a quiet one. Are they smart enough to go, oh, Dangerfield only had 14, should we give him one?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you see what happened? Was Matt DeBoer wouldn't let him near the ball. And they're like, oh, should we have paid a free kick? No. You don't understand. It's actually a good thing. Hang on. So you're telling me that player went out there to keep that other play. Yeah, that's what happened. The umpires don't know fucking shit.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes I feel like they do not look at the nuances of the game. I mean, I think back to 1987. David Rhys-Jones essentially won the Norm Smith medal because he kept Dermot Broughton quiet. Like,
yes,
Dermy had more touches than David Rhys-Jones, and he kept him quiet. And, I mean, Dermy had a broken ankle and stuff like that. So really, it was... He had a chip in his ankle. But, I mean, I don't want to bring it up. It's 34 years ago. Sometimes I think they need to take that into account. And can I also say, I mean, great little cameos from Jack Riewoldt throughout the show. But I'm actually amazed he didn't win Mark of the Year. To me, that was the...
You're what?
I'm amazed he didn't win Mark of the Year. To me, that was the standout by far. He fucking did a pirouette in the air and stood on a guy's shoulders.
Yeah, I actually thought Tim O'Brien's was better than Shy Bolton's.
Yeah, sure. Now, was that a public vote or was that a... Because didn't Shy initially not get nominated because they Collingwood fans
jumped
on? I think
that is a public vote.
Yeah, okay.
I think it is public.
No, you can't trust the fucking public, you fucking idiots.
Oh, they're fucking idiots, mate.
Fucking hell. Any public member just listening to this fucking podcast right now, switch off. You're not fucking wanted.
If you're near any member of the public right now, just jump and punch them.
Okay.
So we do have our grand final this week, Michael. Are you excited? Tips go. Who do you think's going to win?
Melbourne by 2 goals, but it's absolutely anyone's. I don't think I can't think of the top of my head going into a game where I go, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
Let me think last year. I was pretty confident Richmond. The year before that, pretty confident Richmond. Pies, Eagles. I was pretty confident Eagles.
You would have gone for Adelaide the year before, though, when Richmond broke their drought.
No, I was pretty confident Richmond were going to win that one, yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
But Adelaide were red-hot favourites, my friend.
Yeah, I just didn't buy them. I didn't buy them that year. And then, of course, Richmond come in.
Oh, but you know your footy.
It was the Richmond wave, though, too, of that 2017 final series and stuff like that. Now, obviously, the week before, they're all classed. This week, you know, and I probably want my Melbourne friends to win one. But I'm happy for the Dogs to win one. But I also figure, like, you know, they have one. You know, D's haven't had one for a long time. Yeah. You know, good story. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to be, you know, heartbroken. It's obviously a great story for the Dogs as well if they get up. I find nice symmetry too, Adam, of 1954. I find that nice little symmetry. Dogs and Bulldogs in 1954.
Okay. So the Dogs have got the wood on them is what you're saying.
Yes, 1-0. Yeah, fuck. It's like the streak, like the Undertaker. That's a wrestling reference right there. Yeah, he got to 20-0. What about you?
I think it will come down to the coach's box. And I put Bevo in front of Goody. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Doggies by about 10-ish.
Dogs by about 10-ish, okay.
I think he's the mastermind. Like, you know what he doesn't mind doing, Michael? You know when he doesn't mind getting a magnet, right? And he won't just leave it where it is. He'll fucking spin it. He's not afraid to spin the magnets.
You know what he's also not afraid to do, Adam? I've heard this a few times over the last 2 weeks. Mm. He's not afraid to back his players in.
Does he back them in?
He backs his players in. He defends his players to the hilt. Okay? If you come at him, he'll come back. Like when Volcano came at him,
Yeah.
And he fucking said, "Who are you fucking sleeping with? Who's in your bed? How do you deal with that? Yeah. How can you even fucking deal sleeping in the same room as that person?" I mean, he went a bit over the top there.
How does she look you in the eye? How does she look you in the eye? And the thing, what I love about Bevo is like a couple of weeks ago, so he threw Tim English into the ruck, right? Now, the thing that I love about Bevo is that Tim English is a ruckman. And he said, no, I'm not going to play him in the ruck. I'm going to play him up forward. And we're going to play this really young guy who's not very good at the ruck in the ruck. And then that guy got fucking smashed. And Bevo went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my ruckman in the ruck. The guy's a fucking genius. Well, no one saw that coming.
Well, I saw one form guide. It maybe cost the Bont the Brownlow by the fact that I think they played him in the ruck or maybe out of position in that final round. And so he couldn't get the three votes to kind of get equal with Ollie. But maybe that kind of final round position change kind of maybe maybe it's just trying to kind of ease him up a little bit too for the finals.
Mate, you don't race your horses every fucking big meet. Now, who do you... So we've got... They've announced who's going to be performing at the... Well, there's one person that's not going to be performing, and I think we all know that Mike Brady is... I don't know if he can have a grand final without the Braid stuff.
Isn't he performing at the MCG, though? Isn't he doing a bit like he did last year?
Is that what's happening?
I feel like he might be doing I imagine the In Memoriam again. Oh, no, they had... Oh, no, not In Memoriam. It's retirees. Sorry, it's a bit different. You have age Shane Bob, Sean Berger on there. But I feel like... Yeah. I can't... I don't know if I'm totally sure, but I feel like he might be doing that again. And which I think is actually not a bad little spot for
it. What about a Mike Brady hologram?
Oh, and we get that in the middle of Optus Stadium.
A la Tupac, yeah.
I think it's about time. It's about time. I mean... It's obviously something we're going to do when Mike is no longer with us. Like, we're obviously going to do the hologram, so why not just do the hologram early, you know, while he's not in the particular state.
Or how about, come on, Mark McGowan, I know you're not letting certain people in, and, you know, there's that footy fan from Collingwood. I get it, he can't get in. David Koch wasn't allowed to fly to South Australia. I get it, but they're not Mike Brady.
No.
You know, and, you know, sure, most of WA would go, what the fuck is a Kazali? And you go, doesn't matter. Played for South Melbourne in the 30s, but just fucking listen to the song. It's very catchy. He's got another song. Sounds very similar to it. Enjoy his fucking music.
I feel like it's good fun and games, and it gets the crowd sings along. You know, everyone enjoys it. Like, if they play Mike Brady, you know, every grand final till, you know, the day he might kick the bucket, then I'm happy with that. I'm not too fussed.
There needs to be, because it's not the kind of music that anyone writes at the moment, is it? It's not like he's going to be replaced where people are going, what are you getting Brady for? There's this new young buck who's got like just an acoustic guitar who's writing some ditties for not only football, but also for Sayo Biscuits. You just don't get that kind of, you know, that coverage that he was able to offer.
Yeah, I feel like there's not huge market for it anymore, kind of doing the novelty kind of football song. I feel like there's not too many. When would the last one have been, like, a big one? I mean, I suppose the only ones really things that were kind of Channel 7 commentary kind of introductions. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I'm talking about football.
You know what, though? If you're an Australian band or artist, do you reckon in the back of your head, if you're a sports fan too, in the back of your head, because you know how they always trot out that... the Holy Grail song, The Hunters and Collectors.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wouldn't have written that for that specific purpose. But if you're a footy fan who knows how to write a good song and you would go, guys, can we just write a fucking song about September?
Yeah.
Like the last day or something?
Yeah,
and say your non-football friends don't know it and they're like, why? What's so good about the last day? Last Saturday in September? You go, don't worry, mate. It's going to be fucking... We're going to go gangbusters.
Well, there's one song of Birds of Tokyo... I can't remember what it's called now, but I'm sure it's going to get a run on the weekend because it can kind of be shoehorned into a kind of sporting context. It's not like Insatiable, but it's like da 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 da. But it kind of works. Like it was a theme for the Invictus Games, and you kind of go, yeah, that kind of works with the wording and stuff. Yeah,
like if someone wrote a song called Ball,
you'd kill you'd kill them.
You will. It'd be fucking great. It'd be a great song. We'd all sing it. We'd love it.
Yeah, that song was a bit rough. That was a bit rough. Or someone wrote a song called We Love Football, and then you got a whole bunch of footballers and Warwick Capital kind of danced. And then have the footballers mime it to it, but it's not actually their real voice. Someone else has to come in and dub the voices.
It's exactly what you want. And then they said, you know where this song will be made popular? By a shitty podcast in the mid-2010s.
There is a funny lyric. I think it's the St. Kilda player. I can't remember who it is. But I think it might be Frawley, actually. It might be Spud. But it's something like, you know, the Saints are alive. You'll all be worried when we make the five. But it was like this kind of line where it's like, yeah, we've been really bad for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we make that five, oh, you're in trouble.
Look out. And so we've got Chris Grant and Gary Lyon handing over the Premiership Cups to their respective teams if they make it through. What's your take on that?
I like that. I like that. It's just a good luck chance that Chris Grant works at the club so he could get over there. And then Big Gaz obviously is doing the commentary. And I think that would, I was listening to the 3AW, the sports guy, and he was talking about a couple other players that could have possibly be there. But obviously, they have to be people who kind of already live in WA, I suppose.
Perth. What about, though, what about if the AFL make it a little bit more fun? Because this is all, you know, Gary Lyon's going to be wrapped if Melbourne wins. Obviously, Chris Grant's a part of the club. But if they said, if the AFL said, look, if Footscray, if you win, Jake Stringer is going to hand over the Premiership Cup.
Yep.
Make it really fucking awkward up there. Like the next time Essendon are due for it, Derek Kickett, you're handing over. He goes, I fucking hate that club. Mate, you're handing it over. Do you want to do it or not?
I tell you what I liked last year. I really liked Ash Barty doing it. I thought that was really cool.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot that she did it and I saw it back in a highlight. And I was like, yeah, that's so cool.
Do you remember who the Geelong person was going to be? Was that going to be a former player? Or was that going to be kind of a celebrity as well?
I was just about to hit you with that question without notice as well. You know what?
Yeah, Catman. It's going to be Catman. Catman would have done it.
Oh, could you imagine how Catman had a got on the mic and said a few home truths that people needed to hear?
And then the horrific sight as 20-odd players run on the stand and just trample this cat. He's already
he's
dead.
He's up in the Gabba heat with his fucking face melting off.
Fuck, Catman. Hey, have you been sending a bit of mail to Max Gorn?
Wasn't me, mate. Wasn't me.
It was a very strange story that we saw this week that a Port Adelaide fan, passionate Port Adelaide fan, sent a letter to Max Gorn. So I suppose at the
Here we go. All right. So first off, let's just get down to the nitty gritty here. He's one of those losers that writes a letter and posts it, right? So Michael, you talk me through what's going through this person's head as they start to send it.
Well, they're very passionate. I've also noticed that this is like printed. It's kind of printed in black and teal in bold, often capitals. They didn't go the whole...
So now, are you a handwriter?
Yeah, they didn't go the heartfelt way and handwrite it. Now, when I write to Clarko, I handwrite that. When I wrote to Rain Jackson, I feel like I would have done that in a computer font. I would have printed that out properly, done that officially. Because, I mean, that's obviously, you know, that's going to a high-level government position.
True. And you all went to Clarko. I was a bit more affectionate. I wanted to know that I put some time in. And so when he gets it, and he thinks, when he gets it, he thinks, oh, this 11-year-old boy has really terrible handwriting.
I haven't heard back. I gave him every option to get back to me. I gave him email, phone number, address.
Did you really?
Yeah.
God.
So Max got a letter from a very passionate Port Adelaide fan. So he received it this week post the Port Adelaide thrashing.
Yes.
And, well, I suppose, let me just read it for you, really. It seems like the person's got a bit ahead of themselves, and they were so convinced that Port Adelaide was going to win the prelim that the D's were going to be very sad. And actually, why is he taunting Melbourne when...
Well, they would have been playing him in the grand final.
Ah, that's good.
He was expecting the Doggies to get rolled.
Oh, okay, gotcha. There we go. Yeah. So he was confident that Melbourne were going to win, but he was more confident that Port was going to win.
Yes, and he has sent this. So he didn't even... This is Australia Post fault, right? So he has sent this without the confidence of knowing that it's going to get there within 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right.
No,
so he has sent this before the Saturday night of the prelim.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going, fuck, I better get this letter to Max Gorn. It's going Australia Post. I got to get it out now because there's no way I can get to Perth from Adelaide within 6 days.
But then I find it interesting that it says Max Gorn, care of the Melbourne Football Club, and then... Would that be the hotel, or do you think you sent that to Melbourne Football Club and then they've shipped it over to Perth?
Interesting address question without notice. I reckon he sent it to Perth. I reckon he's found out where they're staying in WA.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be impossible to find out where they are.
No.
Okay, so it's a bit of a long letter, so I'll skim through it. Hello, little boys.
Yeah. I think there's little bits that you got to hit, though, because he's very, very confident and condescending.
Hello, little boys over there in the West.
See, there you go. Just going, oh, you fucking... He needed to... Whoever sent this needed to attach the photo to it.
We training really hard. Okay. Classic. Classic Port Adelaide supporter right there.
I like it. And also really in capitals. We training really hard.
Yeah, there were some random capitals kind of going on.
Yeah.
We training really hard. You better be. Because by the time you receive this, the mighty Port Adelaide will have belted the red, white and blue puppies off Adelaide Oval.
Mm.
Guess what, children? We are coming for you now.
What a threat. I love it.
I don't know, man. It's kind of a lot of effort to go through. Because, I mean, the dude probably drafted this. I can't imagine it's a first draft. You have to kind of rewrite it. It's a lot of effort to go through to kind of...
I don't know if there's a lot of drafts in this, mate.
This is our year of history in the making.
So he's thrown in a little bit of a theme song in there. So get him Maxi's kitchen.
He's got a few... he's got a couple of little references, I think. We can't wait to have our hands on our trophy. Probably want to put 2 hours, kind of so close to each other, and bring it back to Port Adelaide where it belongs.
Mm.
Another wasted year for UA children. He's fascinated by little boys and children. Yeah. And
there's just, mate, he's belittling them. That's what he's doing. It's classic. It's smart. It's intelligent.
Another year of wishing you were more like the mighty Port Adelaide.
Well, absolutely,
I mean,
we all do.
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's not like Port Adelaide's had, like, you know, overwhelmingly enviable success over the last 2 decades. They've done it. They've done fine. Nothing to sniff at. But
No. This man's certainly cherry-picked what he's considering the mighty Port Adelaide.
Yeah, he's kind of skimming over the Matt Primus years.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that.
Instead, you're just another team that played in the Big Dance. Whoa, wait a second.
Oh, God, mate.
Big Dance? Fucking trademark, mate.
What a... Fuck with.
But came away with empty pockets. Well, I mean...
So he's talking about the... So hang on, he's already referencing the fact that they've lost the grand final?
Instead, you're just another team that played in the Big Dance and came away with empty pockets. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but also at the same time, like... I mean, you don't really think about leaving a grand final with full pockets. And also, there are no pockets on the shorts. So, you know... I mean, you got your medal around your neck. You can't fit the cup in a pocket. So... You'd probably say came away empty-handed, I think would be a better way to put that.
Yeah. No one ever said... That's a really good point. No one ever says, oh, mate, he came away with empty pockets. Did he? That's interesting.
You should know by now that we are the most successful team in the AFL.
Okay.
And here's an editor's note. This is from the Herald Sun website. No, Fox Sports website. They've kind of corrected this. Editor's note, in brackets, editor's note. This is untrue. I have to fact check a fucking fan mail letter to the fucking Max Gaunt.
I love it.
And we intend to remind you of that fact. So have a nice time over the next 7 days or so. Sheesh, he continues. Well, that's nice wishing them well, though, you know.
No, I agree. It's like, I'm going to kill you, but, mate, I got a heart of gold.
Because I feel like they only came out of quarantine maybe on... Maybe yesterday, even.
So the Demons?
Yeah. I feel like they maybe only came out of quarantine. Maybe go to the beach and build some sandcastles. It's real, with your knuckles. I don't know, with your buckets and spades, children. Back to the children thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, when you say it to someone, that's a shot across the bow. Like, if I said to you, and I'd never say this, Michael, so this isn't me actually saying, but if I said to you, mate, go build some sandcastles with your buckets and spades... So that's just, I would never say that because that's fucking really hurtful.
I feel like he'd get reported for something like that. I feel like if the
umpire that's true. And that's probably why you'd hope he didn't attach his name to it because the police, you imagine the federal police would have been onto that.
Well, I feel like if you're mentioning children this much in just a short space of time, like I feel like the AFP should probably have a little look into it.
Yeah, the integrity unit's all over this. They've dusted it for prints.
Because once the black, white and teal army... walk into Optus Stadium, you novices will learn what playing football is all about. And here we go again. He's got another little quip. We are coming to end your long, long dream, children. What's with the fucking children repetition all the time?
I'd be sending people around to his house, man, and I'd be lifting up the floorboards.
I feel like this is maybe like someone, English is a second language. You know, some English is a second language dudes kind of use the same insults a lot. Like they kind of have these fallback insults. Do you find that?
Oh, I reckon... Yeah, I just, in defense of that, I would say Port Adelaide people struggle enough with English.
That's a really good point, actually. That's a really good point. Start counting the days. We'll never give in till the flag is ours for the taking. So sad days. I love that, that he finished with so sad days, while completely overlooking the fact that this motherfucker is the one that wrote the actual letter and then took the time to send it to Max Gawn. And he doesn't actually mention Max Gawn individually. It's just sent to him as kind of the front man.
Oh, well, obviously you send it to the captain. He's going to take it to the rest of the team.
Sure, sure. Got to read it out in front of the group. I wonder if Maxie got affected by this, actually. Imagine if he went to the team meeting and they're like, you know, Maxie, you're not yourself. You know, and he's like, yeah.
What's wrong? Oh, mate, I've been told to go to the down to the beach and build some sandcastles with my buckets and spades.
Oh, sheesh, we're worried about Maxie on Saturday night now.
get the psychologist. Really, down to the beach. Yeah. Buckets, sandcastle, spades, the whole thing.
No, he called me a child, even though I've got about a foot-long beard and I'm 6'10". Yeah. Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, he went there.
So I hope Maxie can get through that. Hey, bit of news at the Baggers, mate.
Oh, mate, it is all happening down at Carlton.
Brian Cook is actually a really good get. I was actually quite surprised that it actually happened.
One good thing has happened out of this whole fucking review. Mm. We've gotten a really good CEO as a part of the club. So he was with West Coast during their prime early years.
Yeah.
And then he was obviously at Geelong for 20 years and did a fantastic job down there. So hopefully, one thing that Carlton do really well is we take people who've had successes at other places.
Yeah, and you fucking and then ruin their career and they become a walking punchline.
Yeah, and then we bring them in and we absolutely take a shit on their legacy.
Yep. And a year and a half in, you go, oh, gee, we fucked this up entirely. Let's begin this whole cycle one more time.
Yes, let's get it all happening again because it's so much fun.
I was actually really surprised that you got him. And now who knows, you know, what kind of how many zeros are on the check. But I don't think Brian Cook would be the type of guy who would do things for money, and also by the fact he'd have more than enough money already. But I actually thought he was going to be drifting off into like a retirement kind of area, or just like a, you know, he could
consultant.
Consult footy clubs all around the country or whatever.
Yeah,
he can make it.
So I think what Carlton were hoping to do is, obviously they wanted him regardless, but I think the idea now is that they've got him and that has shown that we are stable now and that will convince Clarko, because the talk that I've heard is that Clarko wanted to do a study course in the US next year and he didn't get into it.
Yeah.
He didn't get accepted because he's a bit fucking...
A bit loony.
A bit slow.
Yeah, yeah. He had a few references and they said... He got asked Sam Mitchell to be a reference and he was like, nah, mate, the guy's fucking... Yeah. I wonder actually how long he would have been going for that trip as well, because also his kid's still in year 12 next year and already the kid would have had, you know, 2 years of interrupted education. So he thought maybe he wanted to hang around and want to disappear for too long. But, you know, who am I to speak about Clarko's
And there's family? No doubt that Carlton would say, mate, if you coach us, you can take as much fucking free time as you want.
Yeah.
As long as you're there on game day and for a few training things, just get us back in the finals, mate. We don't care. We do whatever you want. Study what you want. You know what? Do an online course. There's heaps of them.
Go to American coach on
what do you want to learn?
Coach on Zoom. You know, we've all wanted to live with Zoom over the last year and a half.
It's doable.
I remember Clarko saying a couple of years ago that if you went to Hawthorn training, you actually wouldn't think he was the coach, because he said all these other people are kind of running the drills and stuff like that. Well, he kind of just observes mainly.
Delegates. So the talk is now that Michael Voss is leading the candidates. Apparently it's Voss's job if Clarko doesn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlton, who are doing an unbelievably thorough process, have spoken to Adam Kingsley and Daniel G in Syracuse. And we would like to talk to Adam Uze, but he's coaching this weekend, so we can't. And so therefore, we'll probably announce Vossi tomorrow, ending the said thorough process about a month early.
How long a time do you think you have to give for Clarko to maybe make up his mind? Because you do have to get cracking pretty quickly when it comes to trading and drafting and delisting. Oh, I mean, did Teague do all the delisting, or have they kind of put that on hold for a little bit?
No, that's all been on hold. Nothing's happened with our list. So it's only the retirements at the moment.
Yep.
And they need someone in there. So trade week, I think, starts Friday week.
Okay. Oh, wait a second. You know what that
means? Trade radio.
Trade radio, mate.
It's coming. It's coming. Fucking Eddie.
It's on the way.
Just be like, oh, no.
It's on the way. Fucking hell.
It's gonna whip things into a frenzy. So, if Carlton don't have a coach by then, Trade Radio will probably tear the Carlton club apart. I don't know if we'll exist next year.
And you're in a difficult spot then, aren't you? Because if you want to wait for Clarko, okay, you go, okay, Vossi's fine.
Yep.
But Clarko is what we're after. If you wait for Clarko for too long, then Vossi goes, well, you clearly don't want me. You want to get this bloke. Yep. So do I hightail or do I go, I just eat shit for a little bit and I want the job. Depends how badly you want the job. It's like...
Well, that's the thing. Does he really want it? Like, he know, you know what? He reckons, he must know that he's going to be one of the next cabs off the rank. So if they kind of dick him around a bit, he just goes, you know what? Fuck it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't... Like... You know, like Ross Lyon did. He just didn't want to go through the process and just went, oh, I can't be fucked. Because he's very happy at his real estate company, Ross Lyon. He doesn't really need this.
Yeah.
He didn't really want it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Vossi is at Port. Is that right?
Yeah, he's Port Adelaide. I think he's their midfield coach.
They move around a lot, don't they? It'd be very tricky kind of if you're moving families and stuff like that, finding schools, all that kind of jazz. I mean, there are some dudes, you know, they end up living in four different towns.
Yeah. Nah, poor kids, mate. The poor kids. I don't want that. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, we're
going
to hit the road. We've got a football in real life, though. Before we go, our grand final show, don't forget that. Hit tickets up at Try Booking. Broden Kelly, Titus O'Reilly, Chaz Legidello. It's going to be sick.
Fun.
From Tal, we've been tossing up whether to... I've been tossing up whether to send this, but your conversation last week regarding a pair of cool Collingwood players left me no chance. We were talking about Adam Seam, Brody Grundy and Darcy Moore at the park. This semester I started my master's. My hex interest is doing very well for itself. Did you have much of a hex there?
No, I didn't go to uni long enough, so no.
Yeah, sure. I think I paid it off as soon as I hit the threshold. Like, it was really nothing.
Isn't it not a lot?
Oh, back in the day. Like,
yeah, okay.
I think once you got to like 26 grand or something, you kind of just had to begin paying it. But I think I paid it off like in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Past a certain threshold and it starts coming out of your wages, doesn't it?
But I mean, dudes now, they get stung for fucking Bitcoin. But back then... but due to lockdown, it's all online.
Like Clarko.
During my first international relations theory class, I've done that.
Is this from Clarko?
Yeah, I did that. I did that class, yeah.
International relations theory. Did you really?
Yeah, and I did that. Clocked it, aced it.
Yep.
No big deal. Probably wrote a book about it. I noticed a familiar name on the screen, but didn't pay much attention as the camera was off. When we got allocated into groups of three to start analysing the usefulness of human rights, that's a funny thing to put in a sentence.
What's the point of it? All right, let's see.
Go
let's
to uni. They go, guys, slavery. Is it all bad? I was joined by none other than Collingwood star Darcy Moore, Speaker of the Devil, who had turned his camera on to engage in the smaller discussion room. Safe to say the conversation was engaging and productive, and we concluded that human rights are a great thing for the international community, but should apply to every person, with the exception of those low dog umpires, of course.
Excellent.
I really like the idea that Darcy was his argument too. Like, he's like, no, guys, international rights is fantastic. You know, we've got to do it for everyone. Yeah. But fucking raise a right. We should tie that up.
Yeah. He's got family coming in from overseas. I'm not letting him in.
Online uni has robbed me of meeting Darcy, but have heard plenty of his thoughts and reckon he'll make a great international diplomat post AFL career. Perhaps with his connection, he could land a job in the Victorian Embassy in Perth.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Victorian Embassy.
Are you trying to work out the connection?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to work out what's the connection.
I don't know it either.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. But I mean, the idea of a Victorian Embassy in Perth, I kind of get that as well. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for your letter. We're going to hit the road.
Yes, thank you, Tab.
Oh, the excitement's picking up, Adam. The excitement's picking up. Get your footy friends. Get your party pies. Get your sausage rolls. Get your froths. Sit on the couch by yourself. Watch a big game. About two teams you don't barrack for. It's going to be massive. We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. There you go.
Go Blues.